Tech Show.
The Linux Link Tech Show is on. Your link to the latest in GNU Linux and technology. 2 hours of insightful guests, tech info, and playful banter. Free software, free speech, open source, open mics. Live from the Linux Link Tech Show studio, here are your hosts, Dan, Alan, Pat, and Link.
Link it up.
Link it up and take it away.
Take it away.
Since Dan has been farting so much to us, I've got the perfect intro for next week. I got to put it together for you.
Oh, we're gonna have a new intro next week?
No, no, it'll be very close to the same, but it'll have some additional pieces on it.
All right, everybody. Hey, it's the Linux Link Tech Show and friends, right? Episode 156. And tonight we have as our special guest.
Dun, 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 dun. You can drum really good now with the mic.
Yeah, I can because I got a new mic. Jono Bacon! Welcome, Jono!
Hello!
Hello!
Hello? All the way from Wolverhampton.
Yeah, from Wolverhampton.
Wolverhampton, the city of dreams.
Go Wolves! They're still in Division 1, right?
Football over there, though.
They're still in Division 1, aren't they?
I don't know. It's all nonsense to me.
You're not a football fan, are you?
No. No, I leave that for the other thugs in the country.
Okay.
For the other thugs.
Thanks for staying up, man. It's like 1:30 in the morning over
there. Early in the morning over there, right.
Thanks for staying up hanging out with us, man.
No, I appreciate it, man.
Congratulations on the new position at Canonical.
Thank you.
Best of luck.
Really? So what? And you've only been there for a couple of days now, right?
Yeah, I started on Monday, but from the day that I announced it, I've pretty much been getting bags of email from inside Canonical of things to work on. So I've got a big list of stuff to do. So I'm not going to be bored.
Cool. And what's your official title over there?
Ubuntu Community Manager. That's the official job title.
Sweet. So what's your opinion of Canonical so far?
It's good because there's so much kind of speculation about Canonical, and I was interested to sort of see how what they're going to be like, inside Canonical. And they're awesome. I mean, there's a real great community, and their kind of commitment to the Ubuntu community is amazing. I was expecting them to be committed, but they really do put the Ubuntu community on, like, top priority. So they've got the right ethos there, which is cool.
Now, do you work at home, or do you go into an office?
No, I work at home. I sit in my pants all day and drink tea and occasionally take the dogs out for a walk. I put something on top of the underwear for that. Eating peas and stuff.
And how often do you have to? How often do you get together with other people from the company?
Well, I think I'm in the sprint every so often. So I think it was last week or the week before, something like that. There was a sprint in Wiesbaden where the distro team met up. That was the week of the infamous X breakage. It's quite a fortunate week for something like that to happen. But the company and Ubuntu contributors meet up at these kind of sprints and these events. And one thing I'm going to be working on is the loco team, which are a local team and enthusiasts, and trying to make more events for people to work together that are driven by the loco team. So you work from home quite a lot, but it's just this sort of, I'm looking forward to meeting up with the other Ubuntu people for the first time, which I'd imagine will be in sort of November.
So exactly what do you do at Canonical? I mean, what does your day-to-day job involve? You got a fancy title. What's that all amount to?
It basically involves the ritualistic destruction of puppies.
Nice.
Yeah, it's if you take the Ubuntu community, you know, there's a big community that spans across the world, people doing different things, people doing coding, packaging, documentation, translations, all these different things. My job is to keep the wheels of that community oiled. So I'm there to help the different teams work together as best they can, to resolve any problems, to try and optimize the way in which these teams can work together. I'm not there to tell people what to do. I'm not there to pull rank on people, because I'm probably not going to be able to pull rank on people, because I'm just another contributor. I'm paid by Canonical, but I'm another contributor.
So
there's that. There's also the specific things that I'm interested in doing that Mark Shortworth is interested in doing. You know, as I said earlier on, the low-code teams are a good example of that. You know, I'm really, really keen on low-code teams talking to each other, getting the most out of their teams. Because it's so much, any geek will tell you that it's so much more fun, you know, being at a lug or being at an event or a conference and hacking with people than it is doing it by yourself. So there's lots of things like that that got involved.
So you're paid to be their number one cheerleader then?
Yeah, I think there's a certain amount of going around and sort of rallying the troops as well, and getting more people involved in Ubuntu. Because, you know, Ubuntu, just I don't know what distros you guys use, but yeah. Ubuntu's really shot to success, and a lot of people like it because there's a real appreciation of that strong free software community there. And just because Canonical funded, Canonical don't essentially, they don't take a strong controlling lead of it. Canonical just supports it. So Canonical's interaction with the Ubuntu community has been a good one as well. So I think there's an appreciation that people aren't going to kind of screw the community. There's a mutual respect there.
Outstanding.
So are you going to be doing more globetrotting than you've been doing previously?
I don't know, to be honest. I mean, I'd imagine it's going to be a reasonable amount of travel, because, you know, being a community manager means talking to the community, and the community spread out all over the place. I was very fortunate at an advantage to go around talking to people at conferences and getting to know people. And that was great, and that was really beneficial for Open Advantage and for me. So I'd like to do more of the same, because I love meeting free software people. You know, there's so many cool people out there that are doing really, really cool things. And I'm interested in meeting all of them, so I hope so. But I'll find out over the next few weeks, because I'm still quite new.
Awesome, because, you know, the next time we find out that you come to, like, New York or something like that, without even bothering to contact us and stop by, since we're only an hour away, we're going to come and kick your ass.
Who are we?
See, we do pay attention.
Even Washington, D.C.
Come and kick your ass.
Hey, we're no Ted Hager, so I guess we won't be hearing from
That's
him.
True. Yeah. That's true.
Listen,
Jono,
I have your book in my hand. Your latest one. At least I assume this to be your latest one.
I thought you picked that up in, like, Home Depot. I thought it was about...
No. It's got that shit brown color, but, you know. the Ubuntu book.
All right, yeah.
The official Ubuntu book, as a matter of fact, that just hit the shelves like a month ago, right?
Yep.
Right? 886. My publicist says it's available on 8.6.
Whether you're she's listening right to or his know. Publicist.
He's got a couple of books in the works.
Yeah, a couple.
Fair enough, yeah, that's what we like.
And I was looking through this today, reviewing it once again before I talked to you tonight, and I have to say that this has got to be probably one of the most definitive books on any distribution of Linux that I have seen.
His nose is turning the color of the blue.
No, seriously, because I also get, like, they keep sending me those. You ever seen those Red Hat Bible things?
Yes.
The ones that are like 9,000 pages, right?
Page one, yeah.
They have to drop them off in a fucking semi-trailer. And like, this has just as much, if not more, information than knows. I really dig it. It's pretty cool. So I was wondering, like, which chapters you actually contributed to and stuff.
Okay, wait, quick question before you do that. you get these books for reviews, and you say you have a lot of books that you review, but I never see any reviews. Where are you reviewing these things?
I review them here.
Okay.
I review them here.
You got to read his blog.
I review my blog.
I do read his blog.
You never read my blog.
I read his blog.
You know why? Because you're a cheap piece of shit. That's why.
I read his blog a lot, and I may see one or two reviews, but it sounds like he's getting all these books, and I never get
Well, I have, like, I do happen to have, like, six or seven books out to read yet. They're on their way, man.
Oh, sorry about
that. They get their mention.
No. Tell us what you wrote in there. Just what, two paragraphs?
Yeah, just a couple of lines. The chapters I wrote were the installation, the desktop chapter, and there's a big chapter in the middle of the book that contains like a bunch of recipes of things that could potentially, you know, things that might not work or things, you know, common problems or some things you might want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big chapter in the middle, and I wrote about half of the recipes in there, but I also worked with the Ubuntu community to get people to send in their suggestions. But I wrote that chapter and thought, well, this is all right, but there's so much more out there that would be a lot more value in there if we got the Ubuntu community to hook in as well. So we stuck a post in the fridge and had some really great submissions, and we managed to get a bunch of them in there as well.
So when is the Kubuntu book coming out?
This one talks about Kubuntu in the back of it. Talks about the different offshoot
products. I mean, there's a chapter about Kubuntu in there, and I don't know anything about any official Kubuntu books, but there's going to be Kubuntu books because it's so popular, and you know, so many people are loving Kubuntu that it wouldn't surprise me if someone banged on Jonathan Liddell's door and said, "Look, write a book," and spread the love, spread the Kubuntu love.
I like Kubuntu. I have it running on my AMD64, and it's running pretty well. I'm enjoying it.
Sorry about the long pauses. That's just all of us trying to catch our breath. They're having some kind of a gas fight over
having
here.
Like a gas fight or something.
Chemical warfare. It's the Newcastle Brown kicking in.
Just bad. It's getting thick in here. We're gonna have to move the show outside soon, I think.
I tell you what, right? When we're recording Lug Radio, it's sometimes it is. It's some kind of destruction zone, and the gas that collects in the studio is sometimes just pure evil. So you guys aren't alone.
A little creeping death.
Now, before we actually started the show, Link had a really, really important question that he was going to ask, and we prevented him from asking it.
Now he can't remember.
So now, Link.
I do remember.
You can ask.
Since you brought up Lug Radio, I wanted to know why the hell it took so freaking long to get one of you on our show. We've been trying 45 times to get all of you, like, get us all together. I think that would be a lot of fun. But, like, somebody over there on your end, hint, keeps dropping the freaking ball. I don't know who.
Wait.
You guys got to decide that.
I think I got most of that because you were cracking up a little bit there, like breaking up, not going crazy. I don't know why we haven't kind of hooked together more often, to be honest, because the two shows are very, I think we're different shows, but there's an awful lot in common between us, and I think part of the reason why it hasn't happened, obviously, is because of time zones and all the rest of it. I mean, although I'm happy standing here at 1:30 in the morning, 1:45 in the morning, you know, some of the other guys might not be able to do it because they've got to be up at 6:00 in the morning or whatever. So, but I think what I'd love to see is all meet up and do one show. That'd be awesome.
That'd be a lot of fun.
I think what we got to do is we got to show up for the next Lug Radio Live.
It's a deal. The next Lug Radio Live will be in New York City or Philadelphia then.
Or Washington, D.C.
And then we can all come, right?
It's funny you should say that because we've had emails from some people saying, from some of our American listeners saying they'd love to have Lug Radio Live in the U.S. And one particular guy from Ohio said, you know, we'd be interested in getting sponsorship and... you know, doing Look Radio Live in America. And, you know, would you guys be interested in coming over? And we were like, hell yeah, of course we would.
Sure.
You know, I'm more than happy to come over there and eat as many Turkey O'Toole's from Bennigan's as I can fit into me in the period of a week.
Comes all the way over here to eat at Bennigan's. What the hell's wrong with you? Stay over there.
I discovered this last time I was over there that some of you guys are snobs when it comes to Bennigan's. Bennigan's is just awesome, right? I come over there on holiday. I'll be over in Florida in a couple of weeks on holiday, and one of the prime reasons is Bennigan's. It's pure class in a glass.
To all fairness to Bennigan's, they do start serving alcohol pretty early in the morning. I can attest to this because I watched the World Cup games.
Now we know why.
They can't serve it before 11 o'clock.
I don't know about that. Well, in New Jersey, they were serving before 11 o'clock.
Well, I don't know what the law is.
I was sneaking out of my office going to watch the World Cup.
We all know that New Jersey is its own communist regime, too.
Is that how you got pregnant?
Yes.
Yes, the People's Republic of New Jersey.
Seriously,
they have their own little laws.
We would definitely come over if we had the cash. I think we would show up at Liberty Alive. If we had the money, we would come
really,
over.
We need to all get together sometime. Even if it's, and I know I've offered this before, we need to, you know, do a show on the weekend or something like that where it's the time is more appropriate for the rest of you fellas over there. We could do
I think it would be really cool because, we'd love you guys to come over and be a part of Look Radio Live because it's a different kind of show. It's a different kind of event, and it's very much a community event, and obviously there's a bunch of Look Radio people there, and it would be great to have a bunch of Look Radio people there, a bunch of, you know, Linux and Tech Show people there, and for us to both do a show. I mean, what would be even better is if there was maybe you've organized some kind of knife fight between the two teams.
Yeah.
You know, it would be...
All right, got
some
fight.
Kind of hammer fight between each of us. We could maybe do tag team, and I'd like to take Dan on. Maybe give him a kick in. And
just remember your gas mask.
Yeah, one of you guys, I can't remember which one it is, looks like Ack.
That's Alan.
I think that's told to be me.
Is that Alan? That's right. Yeah. So I'd love to see Alan and Ack in some kind of Mortal Kombat death match.
Ginger death match.
So it'd be me versus Jono. Alan versus Ack, Pat versus who? Matt? Or
I have guns. So.
Oh, he's gonna pack his guns. Now.
I got guns, man.
Have you maybe got a child or maybe a dwarf or someone that can fight Matt because he's not a big lad?
We have Link. He's close enough.
Link. A child, he says.
A child.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the dwarf would sound better. We have to find one of those.
We get Ted Hagar to be the referee.
There you go.
That would be great.
Now you see, that shouldn't happen.
That's true.
Ted Hagar, he is not an honest person. That man is a liar. he knows he's a liar. He took my beard away, and I'll never forgive him for such a thing.
Now, you guys went to Guardoc in Barcelona. It sounded like you guys had a really good time because every time you guys did a show from there, you sounded like you were hungover.
That's pretty accurate, yeah. Guardoc is such an awesome, awesome conference. It really is. I mean, I suppose people go to conferences and enjoy them depending on what they're into. You know, people will go to South by Southwest if they're really into web and multimedia type stuff. But Guardoc, for me personally, I absolutely love it. And the GNOME community is just incredible. But I went to the Guardoc for the first time last year, and there was a certain amount of drinking. But this year, it beat all of that. There was a Fluendo beach party, and the Fluendo guys who do all the, all the de-streamer work, I mean, they just bought an absolutely enormous amount of beer, and people weren't feeling well the day after.
Sound like a good time, man.
No, it's a great conference, and there's some awesome talks there, some real interesting stuff going on. You know, there's a guy called Mirko Muller. I don't know if you've seen any of his work. And he's doing loads of real funky kind of 3D kind of eye candy stuff. And he was demoing a load of that. And he tends to spin around and jump upside down and stuff as well.
The one application I'm really looking forward to seeing come to fruition, besides Shikosher, is D.Va.
Yeah.
That seems...
Yeah, demos that as well.
Yeah, the demos I've seen of that look amazing.
Yeah, there's I think he demoed that in the Lightning Talk, and I think that's the first time I've seen it, because there's Pitavi as well, which is another video thing, which is looking pretty cool as well.
Now, speaking of Jakosher, it's pretty much based on GStreamer, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the idea behind Jakosher was to make something that's really easy to use. You know, just plug in, select an input, hit that big, glowing, delightful, delicious red record button, and record your podcast and stick it online easily. And it's going well. You know, we need more hackers, as every project does, but, you know, we're all set for a 0.2 release in November, and hopefully in November it should be suitable for you guys to record the Linux Link Tech Show.
No, but no, that's not the question. The question is, when is it going to be suitable for you guys to record the Lug Radio?
So you can throw out that
so
Apple.
So that you can get rid of your
I thought they already switched to Jakosher.
I don't think so.
I thought you guys were using Jakosher.
No, we're not using Jakosher yet. We released 0.1. We were actually hacking on it at Guada. And we had everything in 0.1 pretty much ready to go, apart from one thing. One little thing.
Recording.
The ability to change the volume of certain bits of the audio. It's fairly important for recording Lug Radio. the reason why we couldn't put that in is because GNOMLing, which is a GStreamer collection of elements, needed something called GNL Operations, and that hadn't been hacked into GNOMLing yet. You know, we absolutely beat Edward Hurley, who's the guy who wrote it. We beat him with a stick repeatedly, a stick with a nail in the end, and but he just didn't have time and had loads of stuff to do. So that's in now, and that's ready for 0.2. So there'll be enough stuff in 0.2 where we can record Lug Radio.
Awesome.
Because the idea has been to, you know, to basically make Jakosher work for Lug Radio, and then obviously when it works for Lug Radio, the idea is to make it work for loads of other stuff as well. But did you guys read the thing about network instruments?
No.
No?
No.
One of the things we're planning for 0.3 is the idea of network instruments. So in Jakosher, you can select an instrument, you can add it to a project, and then you hit record and it records on that instrument. And there's loads of different instruments. There's things like guitars and basses and drums and things like that. With 0.3, we're talking about having network instruments. So what you'll do is you'll add an instrument to the project. So let's say you add an internet phone instrument, and that will listen on a port. So the idea is that you'll be able to select the network instrument, select which contact you want to speak to, which will be populated by Gallagher, and then hit record, and it will use telepathy, which is a kind of like a multimedia set of facilities that plug into GStreamer. And then what we'll be able to do is essentially record voice over IP conversations inside Jakosher. And the cool thing about it is that because it's using GStreamer, when you hit that big, shiny, lovely record button, it'll sync together the people who are sat in the studio and the people who are sat, you know, across the Atlantic Ocean who you're interviewing. So it means that everything lives inside the same program. So you don't have to make bash scripts and special little C scripts to kind of, like, feed this output, feed into that. It takes all that complexity out.
So what about device support for something like that? I mean, is that going to be a problem? Is it going to... I know GStreamer is kind of device independent, but, I mean, is there support for that kind of device in Linux now?
Well, it's not really something that sits in at the Jakosher level. You know, whether you get voice over IP hardware working with it is outside the kind of the scope. Basically, a network instrument will just listen from a port. But what it'll do is it'll listen for that information, and it'll load it into Jakosher, it'll sync it all up. The benefit of doing that is that other people could write other programs to feed the Jakosher information. So there's no reason why someone couldn't write something in Python or C or whatever that listens to Skype or listens to Asterisk or even listens to a MythTV box and sends it to Jakosher. The other benefit is because, again, everything syncs up. GStream is really good in the fact that it supports network syncing of different streams. So the benefit is that theoretically, and we haven't tested this obviously, theoretically it means that you could actually record over the internet. So I could be stood in England with a guitar and I could record something and you could be stood somewhere else. And it could theoretically record that, you know, and you could be outside the building somewhere else. There's obviously network latency, but we're investigating how all this kind of stuff fits together. But it just makes so many options available. Most multi-trackers are limited to recording in the studio, whereas Decotia will theoretically, if all goes to plan for 0.3, be able to just record stuff outside the studio as well.
Now, does Decotia require a real-time kernel? Like some of the other audio apps, such as Audor, you need a real-time kernel set up?
Yeah.
That helps, right?
I mean, to be honest with you, I haven't really poked into it all that much. Latency is something where whenever I speak to people about latency, each person I speak to gives me a different version of what latency is. So you speak to the kernel people and they tell you one thing, you speak to the distributed guys, they tell you something else. And it's because latency is implemented in so many, you know, it affects the kind of the pipeline in so many different ways. There's no doubt about it, if you're running a low latency kernel, it will help. Because even if you squeeze out all latency at the GStreamer level, there's still the potential for it at the kernel level. So, you know, but there's so many, like, there's distros like, you know, Dan Bollock and Ubuntu Studio and Planet CCRMAIYCCYAYY, whatever it's called.
I've been playing with Studio 64, and it's pretty nice. It has all that low latency stuff and audio stuff all pre-configured and ready to go. It's pretty impressive. Have you had a chance to look at that?
I've not played with Studio 64. When we released 0.1, some guy let us know that he's got a distro called Aris, which has got Decotia in it, and you know, it would be nice to have Decotia at the center of a distro like that, so you've got all of that kind of stuff set up. I mean, part of the reason why we picked GStreamer was because one of the problems I found with Jack is that you need to know about some of the Jack server, and you need to configure this, and you need to configure that. You need to know about all of this technical babble to just record music. And, you know, when I'm recording music, when I'm a musician, and when I want to record a song, I don't care about technology, I don't care about computers, I care about pressing the record button and recording my guitar. And that's the kind of the idea of it. So these distros that simplify all this process, so you don't even have to think about real-time kernels, and you've got something like Decotia, which just simply needs to you. I mean, it's going to make audio production on Linux just so much cooler, I think.
Well, you know, the area where Linux has been really lacking has been in multimedia, audio, video. And it seems like we're catching up big time, very fast.
Yeah.
You know, you seem to be into the whole GNOME thing and GStreamer. What sold you on GStreamer?
I think there's a few things. I mean, I'm really keen on technologies where you only have to learn a few things. You can do really cool things with those things, with those small bits and pieces you learn. You know, so for example, I really like Python. I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't want the world to ever consider me a particularly good developer. I'm not a particularly good programmer. I kind of bumble along and manage to do stuff. But if you compare my programming abilities to someone like Ack, he's a tremendous developer. You know, he can write really elegant code. I'm just not the same. But the one thing I like about Python is that you learn a couple of things and you can write really awesome pieces of code really easily. And that's the kind of thing that GStream is like. Once you basically know how to create a pipeline, stick something on it, and set it playing, you can basically write any multimedia application you want, because it just depends on what you stick in that pipeline. You know, so there's that, but there's also the guys behind GStream, I mean, they are just tremendous. You know, when we were writing Decotia, it was pushing GStream in a direction that they'd anticipated, but because there weren't many apps like that, there was a lot of bugs there, and the GStreamer guys just reacted. They took it in their stride, and they're absolutely superb. You know, they really are. So there's a really strong community there, and they seem to be committed to doing the right thing. So I just think we've got a great platform there. You know, you've got things like Pyro and WDK and all of these different things fitting into it. It creates a nice platform for making an application like GStreamer.
It seems, you know, from the outside looking in, it seems that GStreamer is really on the cusp of something really big. And we've been hearing about all the different applications that use GStreamer, and it just seems that, you know, everyone's talking about it, but we really haven't seen an application that uses it to its fullest ability yet. You know, it's so close, it seems.
That's the thing. I mean, the thing that gets me going is when you see something that's kind of got potential. You know, I mean, I remember when I first went into Linux, you know, my brother spent 3 weeks installing Slackware on my computer. And it was so incredibly complicated and over the top. But the thing that I found really exciting about it was just the sheer potential, just thinking about all of these community members working together and all this free software, and it could only get better. And I think there's a number of projects that have kind of got that, and they hit that critical mass, and then they're just going to overdrive, and just some incredible things happen. And GStreamer seems to be like that. You know, they've been developing forward, and then, you know, they develop to a point and get everything pretty much working, and then they'd have a few bugs here, and then they'd move forward, and that would break compatibility with previous stuff. But at the moment, they've solidified 0.10, which is their current stable version, and they're just fixing bugs like there's no tomorrow. And, you know, you've got applications like Totem and Beaver and Jukosha and, you know, Amarok and all these different things. And they're doing some really cool things. You know, I'm really looking forward to seeing more multimedia production apps, you know, things like Beaver and Tipperby and Jukosha, things where you're making media instead of just playing it.
So when are we going to start seeing, like, more stability and a slowing down of GStreamer? Because, like, all the neat projects that come out seem to want to be require, like, a version of GStreamer that's two or three versions beyond what ships with any
distribution. It's all in the CVS, it seems like.
Well, you know, you have to go to some, like, developmental GStreamer libraries or stuff that's, you know, in beta on a lot of the distributions. I mean, is that going to change anytime soon?
Yeah, I mean, I think it will, because let me give you an analogy. Let me explain how it kind of worked. You know, when we decided we were going to do Jukosha, when we started out doing it, I mean, I don't know if you saw the background behind it, but I stuck some designs on the internet which I thought would be quite cool. You know, I'd met up with Ack a few times and we fleshed out some ideas. And then some guys went away and started coding it. And they coded essentially a GUI around it, and I got involved and Ack got involved and a few other people got involved. And we created a really nice GUI, but we didn't have anything, it didn't actually play anything. Because none of us knew anything about GStreamer. You know, it just looked nice. And then as we started hacking in the actual, you know, so it actually played something, it turned out that you needed to, you know, there was things that were broken in GStreamer. There would be elements there that were intended to do the right thing, but there was lots of bugs in there because they hadn't been rigorously tested. So that meant that we needed to run CVS versions of GStreamer because the bugs, you know, we'd find a problem and we'd report it, they'd fix it and it would go into CVS, and that's normal versions. Now, the problem is where it fits into distros, because, for example, Edgy comes out in a month or so, and Edgy, we're not going to get Jukosha in Edgy, but what we're wanting to do is wanting to get all the GStreamer bug fixes into Edgy. So, at the moment, if GStreamer were to release, if they were to release a version of GStreamer tomorrow, it would have most of the bug fixes that we need in it, because we're basically, the bugs are being fixed, and then we're getting to a point now where GStreamer is much more stable for doing things like Jukosha. So therefore, releases will just come out and you'll be able to use it. But we anticipated this. We anticipated that 0.1, you're going to have to basically mess around with CVS GStreamer to run it. 0.2, I'll be surprised if anyone really needs to use CVS. And that's part of what I've been trying to do recently is get the GStreamer guys to fix these bugs as soon as possible so we can get it into the distros. So all you'll need to do is download a package of Jacocha, and then it'll run straight away. And this is less than, you know, as more applications stress test these chunks of CStreamer, you know, there's much less of a requirement for in CVS. It's definitely a temporary thing.
So then, with all the stuff that's going on with GStreamer, with Fluendo's support and influence, and the capability of GStreamer in the back end, being able to manage all sorts of media from video to audio, and even restricted licensed video and audio, do you see GStreamer as being a really good solution to the multimedia problem on Linux, particularly proprietary formats?
I think if you look at the problem that we've got with multimedia, you can basically split it into two areas. You've got the ability to manage that media. So, for example, in terms of GStreamer, you need to be able to take, or as an example, you need to be able to take audio and feed it through effects, and you need to be able to split it into different channels and stick it out of a sound card or save it to a file and things like that. And all those things are relatively agnostic when it comes to whatever media that you're dealing with. You know, one of the nice things about GStreamer is that you can feed pretty much anything that's supported by GStreamer into that pipeline, and it doesn't really matter. Now, then you've got the other issue of the actual codecs and formats that it supports. And that's where it starts getting a bit stickier. There are a few things on the horizon. As you probably know, GStreamer kind of splits things into different plugin groups. So you've got good, bad, and ugly. And, you know, the kind of the proprietary stuff, the GStreamer guys aren't particularly inclined to work on it in general. They want to support free formats. They want to support Ogg Vorbis. They want to support Fiora. You know, and they're keen on working on those, so the support for those formats is better. But Fluendo, the company who employed pretty much most of the GStreamer hackers, you know, they seem to be making quite handsome business out of selling support and services to do with GStreamer, and they're working on some really interesting big projects. So they're making licensed codecs available. So, you know, I suspect that most Linux users don't have a problem buying a license for MP3, or don't have a problem buying a license for WMV or whatever, as long as it's reasonably priced. I mean, I personally, if I could pay £10 and get a collection of plugins that are all licensed, I'd be more than happy to pay for that. That's fine. So the Fluendo guys are basically writing licensed plugins that will fit into GStreamer, and they've got an MP3 one as it is, which is actually licensed for a number of distros as well. You will never ever be able to get around the problem of proprietary format on an open source system unless those formats are licensed. The only way around that is to basically keep on developing free formats and move people over. But that's a big challenge.
But yeah, but then you get the free software people who are up in arms because you're sleeping with the devil, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I think a bunch of people, you know, if you spend your days taking a real interest in media on open source systems, you want to see free media. And if you talk to most of the GStreamer guys, they're just mostly not interested in MP3. They're not interested in supporting proprietary formats. In many ways, that's what Fluendo are doing, is they're working to, they pay people to essentially work on these proprietary formats and support for them. You know, because customers want that. But when it comes to hackers and free software people, you know, they're mostly not interested in it. And I think the path is getting easier. I think a lot more people are moving over to Ogg and moving over to Fiora. But I'd like to see much more advocacy. I'd like to see more and more people hammering, you know, about the benefits of Ogg and Fiora, because people aren't going to move to Ogg and Fiora on purely ethical grounds. They need to have a reason to move over to it.
They'll move when the iPod supports it, right?
Yeah, I reckon so.
Are iPods as pervasive in the UK as they are in the United States? It seems over here, everyone's got an iPod.
They're
everywhere. Everywhere in England. I mean, they're just stacked with people listening to using iPods. I don't think... I don't think outside kind of the geek crowd, where a lot of people, I don't know if this is the state in America, but a lot of people in the geek crowd in the UK don't buy iPods, they buy iRivers because they support Ogg. And a lot of them get them shipped from the US. But outside of that crowd, everyone's got an iPod. So.
Yeah, we got the iRivers, the iAudios.
iAudios.
GPX2X, baby.
GP2X is very big in the UK right now. It seems like it's catching up over there.
I think it's surpassed over there than it is here.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people kind of buying the GP2X, and it's quite a cool little device, I think.
Dan played with it for about a month, and now he's moved on to other things.
No, I use it every day.
Do you?
I use it primarily for
audio
and
video. You're not
using
the Nintendo more?
Huh?
Well, what do you have
for
then?
Playing games, I use the DS a lot.
He watches his porn on it.
But you can't watch porn on the DS.
So what do we have to look forward to for the season 4 of Lug Radio?
Oh, I can't hear you guys because you're breaking up a little bit.
What do we have to look forward to for the next season of Lug Radio?
I heard that, yeah. Season 4 of Lug Radio, we started recording tonight, in fact. Did the very first episode tonight. And as per usual with Lug Radio, we had absolutely no idea what we were going to say, what we were going to do, or what we were going to talk about. But for us, it's just kind of like doing more of the same, but trying to make the show as likable to our listeners as possible, and just keep it, you know, keep it fun and all the rest of it. You know, everybody's got a different. As you guys probably get this a lot. You know, everyone's got a different way of the way they think the show should work, and you know, season 4 is going to be no real differences in formula, but. We're going to have different segments. We've got some stupid ideas for segments, as usual, so it should be fun.
Now, when you mean other people have ideas for the show, do you mean, like, people outside of the Lug Radio group, you know, that emailed?
We tend to get a bunch of emails. Most emails we get are pretty positive, but every so often we get emails from people sort of saying, you know, this is shit, you guys should do this, it would be so much better. And some people really, really like certain segments, and some people really don't like segments, you know. So, for example, one of the segments... can I swear on here, by the way?
Fuck no.
All you want.
Oh, no fucking way.
I just thought I'd double check. As an example, one of the segments that people seem to love on Lug Radio was the What the Fuck Butstra. And... people seem to really enjoy that. You know, at the end of the day, it was just book reviews, but the kind of format seemed to, you know, people seem to like it. And we must have, I think we now know everybody's favorite book in the Lug Radio community. They all told us. And some people like weird books. You know, so being in the fun segments like that is always good. But like I say, everyone's got a different take on how the show should work. Some people think it should be a little bit more formal. Some people think it should be wackier. Some people think we should talk less about Ubuntu, more about Slackware, you know, all kinds of different views.
Those people are right there. Oh, I just wanted to tell you. More Slackware is always a good thing, you know. Slackware doesn't ship with that shit brown theme, man. That's what it is. You know?
I don't know. That's people what really hate the brown, don't they?
It sucks, man. I'm really big into Kubuntu. I can't stand the shit brown of Ubuntu.
That's what it
brown.
Is.
Shit brown.
Is shit brown. It's shit. When we talked to Mark Shuttleworth, we were really nice about it. I'm like, you know, Mark, has anybody complained about the brown theme? You know. And he was
a bunch of people seem to really dislike the brown. I mean, it's weird because I think you know, from speaking to some other Ubuntu people, they just like love it. I mean, I started a thread today on the loco list saying, you know, everybody just introduce yourself and what themes you're looking after. And I said, just tell us your favorite color. And it seems like a bunch of people really love brown. So, I never thought that brown would be so popular, but I never thought it would be so negative as well.
It just seemed, you know what, for a distribution like that, you would think that they would come up with a more vibrant background color or, you know... Brown just seems kind of dull and ordinary, you know? I guess maybe that's what it is.
I suppose the problem is that brown isn't too far away from beige.
That,
that could be it.
Like the international color of old people.
Yeah, of old people.
I don't know. I see brown. You know, I think of a pile of dog shit. Well, this is me, you know.
According to, I guess, color theory or psychology or whatever, that brown is supposed to be a soothing color. And if you actually, when they were painting the schools where I work, they chose brown tones because it wasn't as distracting.
Earthy.
It was more, yeah, it was earthy. It was more soothing.
That sounds like horse shit,
less
man.
Of a, hey, I don't know, but that's
I like blue, man. I don't know. The blue colors jump out at me.
Well, maybe I don't want my theme blue. Maybe I want it green.
Okay, well, all right.
Green?
Then we'll have green ones. But see, here's the thing.
Well, I don't want green.
Why
now.
Don't
I want
we
red.
Have? That's my point exactly. Why don't we have a selection that you can pick from when you install, instead of getting stuck with the fucking mud puddle on everything?
Because Ubuntu is not about choice; it's about direction.
You know, that's the thing. Maybe I want green or freaking purple polka dot or something other than shit
then
mud puddle.
What was that Windows one? Hot dog.
Yeah, hot dog.
Man, you guys have got a real thing against the brown, haven't you? I mean, I think there's unresolved issues here.
It must be. It's brown, something to do with our child.
I have it on here.
Brown is the belt
brown,
my father used
so.
To beat me with. You know, the brown belt. He used to crack me in the head with it.
Brown's the Church of Fudge, baby.
Church of Fudge. Oh,
I'm guessing you were all locked in a cupboard when you were children and beaten with a dog turd or something.
No, actually, we just walk in every Wednesday night and Dad's watching German scat films.
Oh, man.
That turns us off to brown.
Well,
it's all Dan's fault.
I'd say that actually just turn you off to scat, that line of brown.
Turn you off to scat? What turns you on to it? That's what I want to know. Ugh.
You need to talk
Ubuntu.
To Dan about that.
Ubuntu's color theme turns you on
Ubuntu.
To scat.
You know what? Yeah, Mark Shuttlesworth is going to hear this, and he's never, ever going to do another interview.
He's never going to talk
ever.
To us again.
He was a, it seemed like he's the only never the point of contention was when Dan made a joke, a flippant joke, where he was like, yeah, if Ubuntu did this, it would be more like Windows Vista.
Right.
And it got very quiet all of a sudden.
That went over like a ton
and
of rocks.
Then it was over.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
I apologize.
You did apologize. He probably, you know what, it was a Sunday, you know, he probably just needed to go, you know.
He was sick, too, when he did our interview.
Yeah, he was just starting to get sick when we talked to him, and then by the time when you guys got a hold of him, he was really sick.
Hey, we might not have Mark Shuttleworth anymore, but at least we have Nat Friedman.
That's right.
And Eric Raymond. You guys don't like Eric Raymond. What's wrong with Eric Raymond?
Did you have him on the show?
Yeah, we had Eric sure. Raymond on. He was a pretty nice guy.
Eric Raymond and Nat Friedman. We had Nat Friedman, what, twice or three times?
Twice.
No, stop
twice.
Showing off. I know you've had Nat Friedman. We've invited Nat Friedman a few times, and he doesn't seem inclined to come on the show.
We had Miguel.
Why? What was the problem? He thought you were going to...
because he likes us.
You abused his buddy, Miguel? Was that the issue? Or he just...
Oh, jeez.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't think you were that bad on
Miguel
him.
Too, so.
We didn't have any problems having Miguel on our show either, so...
I suppose I can imagine that... you know, Nat might have thought, well, those guys are making jokes about wearing Miguel's skin. That might not go down quite
well. Oh, man.
It's funny, though. We saw Miguel at, Guadec, mm-hmm. and he tried to persuade us to write Jacosha in mono.
I can see that, yeah.
And, we can see that.
But he's cool. You know, he takes everything in real good stead, and I think it's just that Nat's really busy. But as for Eric Raymond... he's interesting. I mean, he's interesting. Let's leave it at that.
Yeah, you've made some interesting comments about Richard Stallman. You know,
wait till you get Richard Stallman.
The one
your
that really
show.
Got
he's
me was you guys were talking about some conference in Belgium where he was like very abrasive and he was like yelling at the people. You know, you go to Europe, most of the people don't speak English. They speak, you know, Spanish, German, Italian, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And he was like demanding that they speak in perfect English to him. That comes yeah. that comes off as kind of you know arrogant, you know.
It's funny. I mean, Abe saw him this year at FOSDEM in Belgium, and I saw him the previous year, and he did come across as a bit arrogant. But I suppose to be fair, he's Richard Stallman, and Richard Stallman lives his life the way Richard Stallman wants to live his life. He's probably the most unrelenting person you can imagine. It doesn't surprise me, and we need people who are as you know, so, you know, determined and straight down the line as him. But I think he'll always be seen by many people as a bit of an extreme. But the way he came across did seem a little bit arrogant, you know, kind of going to a foreign country and demanding perfect English. I thought was a little bit rich, and that hence that kind of developed a series of enunciate your vowels gags on the radio.
And you guys didn't want, you know, when we had him on, besides, you know, changing the name of the show for one episode, Dan promised to go over there and give him a handy. So you guys probably
but then Pat beat me
reach
to
around
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I was stalking him for a while.
I was saying.
How's Paul Cooper doing?
Paul Cooper?
Yeah, how's he doing?
He's cool, yeah. He's a good bloke, is Paul. He'd be absolutely under the moon if he mentioned on the Linux Think Tech show.
He's a cool guy, man.
Yeah, we really like Paul.
We hung out with Paul in Boston at the Linux World Expo, and Paul was a very cool guy.
No, he is. He's a real nice guy, and he's real salt of the earth as well. You know, there's not a nasty, premeditated bone in that guy's body. He's just real straight down the line.
Speaking of that, you know, we did see that you received your honorary Tech Show T-shirt and stuff. Only we haven't seen you in it yet. You know, we're still waiting for the picture of you know, the infamous John O'Bacon wearing his Tech Show shirt,
yeah,
showing his real colors. You know,
you can leave
I'll
out
tell
the.
You what, I was going to say I'll stick on the T-shirt and wear it. And take a picture and send it to you, because you guys obviously need to get out more if me wearing your T-shirt is going to get you going.
Oh, yeah, man. That's what all the girls are telling us on the IRC, you know. We have to get John O rubbing his nipples in his Tech Show shirt over here, right on the front page.
I think everyone in the IRC channel is now not thanking me for that.
I know Dan's getting excited. I know Dan's getting excited about it.
Yeah, that's. We want a picture of you in the Tech Show T-shirt and nothing else on.
And nothing else.
Just and it's got to be one of those pictures that you know is like from the floor up on one of those like angles. That's what Alan wants.
Oh, man,
I thought you were going to ask for like the bear rug or something
from the man with the Lemon Party T-shirt. John, do you know what Lemon Party is? Do you really know what it is? You don't want to know what it is.
You don't know what Lemon Party is?
No, tell me what the Lemon Party is.
Do we have to go over this again? Oh,
go to lemonparty.org.
Okay, hang on.
Oh, dude, we're going to hear it live.
Dane's walking around with a Lemon Party T-shirt. Let's just leave it at that.
which he gave to an old...
Lemonparty.org.
Which he gave to an old man.
John, I reluctantly presses the enter key.
Oh,
this is all Dan. Don't hate us. Hate Dan.
Oh, my God.
And Dan's walking around with a Lemon Party... Dan's walking around with a Lemon Party T-shirt.
In what possible way has that got anything to do with Lemon?
I don't know. Pucker up, I guess.
Pucker up there, sourpuss, I guess. I don't know.
It's all right if you scroll down a little bit, but scroll back up.
It's pretty disgusting, yeah.
Wait, you know who Tub Girl is, right?
Yeah, the Chuck Fountain.
Oh, yes, and you know, the Lemon Party, and Meat Spin. Oh, have you been to meatspin.com?
Don't go there. No.
Just don't
save yourself.
No.
Oh, you're breaking up again. I can't hear you guys unless you turn into Dalek.
Just save yourself. Don't go to Meat Spin.
Dan always brings the show down.
You brought it up.
Don't look at me, man. You're the one with the Lemon Party T-shirt. You're sitting in front of me.
Oh, hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
You're sounding breaking up again a little bit more.
Because somebody's got to be downloading something over here.
Not I.
Bastards.
Alan's doing a dis upgrade on his Ubuntu.
No, I did that before the show.
Oh, he already did.
One of you guys dis upgrading while we're doing this interview.
Now, Dan normally compiles during the show, but not today.
Oh, by the way, I forgot to say, talking about the Linux Think Tech Show T-shirt. God, that's hard to say if you're drunk. there's In the Ubuntu book, in the official Ubuntu book, one of the screenshots in there is FSpot, which I put in the book. And it's got a picture of the Linux Link Tech Show t-shirt in there.
Oh, does it really?
Really?
Oh, do it.
Yeah, it's on page 96.
See, you can tell Link didn't really read the book.
No, you just got it.
No, I've had it for a month, man.
Well, yeah, there it is.
I think he's too busy starring in LemonParty.org.
That's cool. And there it is.
Hey, we could
get his little. He's got his little army men and everything right there on the desk. Man.
We could get you a Lemon Party
T-shirt.
That was
really cool, man.
Want.
When I got back from wherever it was, and they were all set up, it was like my desk had been invaded by little plastic people.
That was we had a whole lot of fun at the conference in Boston.
Yeah, in a few weeks we're going to the Linux Fest in Ohio, the Ohio Linux Fest, and that should be a really cool event. That's a real community event, less corporate, and it looks like it's going to be a really cool time.
And speaking
the
of which,
the guy who sent his mail about the Lug Radio Live in America was on about that as well, and he said it's like a really cool event. So I was poking around on the website, and it does look pretty interesting.
It's going to be some good stuff. It's going to be some good stuff. Who is it that was talking to you about that? Was it like Gomer or something like that?
Ah, I can't remember his name.
That's not Gomer. Gomer actually works with Jono on the Jokosha project. Gomer is doing a bunch of the documentation.
Yeah, he's doing a cool job there. He's done some like amazing work in terms of the doc. But I've noticed, he's a regular on your forum. We accused him of being a traitor and flushed his head down the toilet a few times, but he still isn't moving back to the Lug Radio. So,
well, he's from Ohio, so we're going out to Ohio. We'll be there, probably.
Cool. I expect to see you all wearing Jokosha t-shirts.
Send them on, man.
Send them over.
Let's go. I'm not proud.
Didn't send them over? No.
Send them over, man. I'm not proud. I'll wear it.
All right.
No, our big announcement is that maybe, just maybe, we're not sure yet. One of our prior guests and buddies is going to be there, selling some really good merchandise. Hopefully,
cool.
And that's Dean Haglund from the X-Files and the Lone Gunman.
That would be cool. Dean's a good guy, man.
Has contacted me about maybe possibly showing up at our booth and hanging out with us, and.
Did he say the Lone Gunman?
Yeah, yep. Lone Gunman, right. Dean Haglund is what was his character?
Langley.
Yeah, Langley, the guy with the blonde hair.
Long hair.
Long blonde hair.
The guy with the long blonde hair.
Yeah.
He was my favorite guy.
Yeah,
from the Lone Gunman.
He's a friend of the tech show, and he also is a really cool inventor, invented a thing called a Chill Pack, which is a laptop cooler. And
it's really good if you're trying to have a kid too. You just rest your testicles on top of it.
Just make sure that you don't burn your testicles, right? And he said he might be able to show up at the Ohio Linux Fest and just hang out with us for a while.
If you're trying to procreate,
sex device, anything is a sex device for Pat. Come on,
it's a nice ice pack. It does the trick.
I never quite thought about icing my balls.
I'd love to meet that guy. He's damn cool.
He's a very cool guy.
Yeah, he is damn cool. I mean, there's a couple of people I'd love to meet. He's one of them. The other person is Peter Weller, who played RoboCop.
Mm-hmm.
And I came close to meeting him, but ultimately failed, and my mother-in-law met him and got something signed for me instead.
So you went out to, what was it, the Southern California Linux Expo, Scale? What'd you think of Los Angeles?
Well, I didn't really venture out to LA that much, because I didn't have much time when I was there. But I met some cool people there, and Sarah was really awesome. I'd love to get over again this year, next year, and they're just sorting it out now. I think they've got a call for papers for it. But I just didn't get. I was really a bit pissed off. I'd love to have got out more, but. And I had some offers. I had some guys I met there who said, you know...
You had some offers?
yeah, they said, you know, we'll take you down some dark alley and
bring
we'll
up
show
the camera.
You a good time.
Yeah. That's what John what John was telling us before the interview started. He said, there's too many faggots out there. Now he's telling us he had some.
Hey, Link, just because you got hang-ups, man, that's your problem. Leave your hang-ups at the door.
Yeah.
Hey, if you come over here, Link will take you down a dark alley.
Yeah. Sure.
Take me down a dark alley with a laptop cooling case.
That's right.
Well,
a laptop cooler and a microphone that smells like ass.
He'll actually rest it. He'll rest it on an Apple laptop for a couple of weeks so it doesn't get you pregnant.
Warm it up a little. Yeah, there you go.
You know, you're not painting a very nice picture for me here.
Nothing new.
Yeah, when we're done, you'll never want to talk to us again.
But this is the typical...
Just like most of our guests,
this
right?
This is the typical tech show interview. I mean, you guys do a pretty quick interview. You do like 15, 20 minutes. I'm sure the raw, you know, it's much longer than that. It's probably, what, a half hour? And you guys just edit it down to 15, 20 minutes or so, right?
Pare it down a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see, we go like an hour at least, and we just torture the shit out of our guests.
We just get you out and beat the hell out of you until you leave.
Until they're blathering idiots and start just, you know, spewing.
You don't really find out what somebody is like until after you've given them enough time to spew their PR for a while. And then after that, you can actually talk to them.
Oh, it's breaking up a bit more. One of you needs to start downloading some horrific goat porn.
Dan.
Over in the United Kingdom, when we had in Britain, the UK, we had talked to Paul Cooper about this. There seems to be a very large open source movement over there compared to over here in the States. I mean, what was the company or the program that Paul
these guys worked
with?
At Open Advantage.
Open Advantage, mm-hmm. Which was government, I believe it was government funded through grants.
Yeah, that's right.
We don't really see a lot of that over here in the States. I mean, what is the climate like over there with regards to open source Linux and free software?
It's pretty awesome, to be honest. There's a real interest in the UK, and we've got a real strong collection of lugs. You know, we've got some great lugs across the UK. And Open Advantage was kind of formed from government money that kind of trickled down to these organisations who are supposed to. Who are supposed to redevelop chunks of the UK. So we live in central England, and it's a very industrial area, and there's money out there to kind of redevelop chunks of this old industry. And that's where Open Advantage got set up, you know, so there's a big stack of cash in a warehouse somewhere that was dedicated to Open Advantage. And that helped us kind of really develop the West Midlands as a real strong place for open source, and it's, I'd say that in the UK now, the West Midlands is really kind of the centre of open source. You know, there's some really awesome stuff going on there. But yeah, there's a real strong community, and because we're a small island, you know, I mean, you know, England is about the size of your back garden, and you know, there's loads of potential for people to meet each other. So you see all the same people at the shows, at the conferences. You know, we saw all the same people at Love Radio Live. The people really get on well with each other.
I guess what's really nice is the concentration that you're, like you said, you're you know, compared to the United States, you're a pretty small island over there.
Mm.
And you have maybe all of the Linux interest that we do, or almost as much, except for you're concentrated down into a very, very small and tight area. So, you guys get to network amongst each other a lot more efficiently than we do here. I mean, there are some places in the United States that, you know, most of the state is even without so much as a Linux user group or something like that. So, That makes it real tough for some of the open source people or potential open source people to communicate with one another and develop a more cohesive sense of community.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say, you know, in the UK, you don't have to travel far to get to a lug. You know, I mean, as an example, we Ted Hager came over here about 6-7 months ago, and we did a UK lug tour. and we managed to do a UK lug tour and still come back to my house each night afterwards. And, you know, when we went up north, we went down south to London, went to Wales, but we could still travel back to the Midlands every night. So that kind of shows you the size of the country. I mean, we'd have liked to have got up to Scotland, but, you know, we couldn't make it up there. But, you know, there really is a strong community here, and because it's not too far away, it means that people can sample different lugs. I mean, I know that there's a lot of this in certain parts of the US. I mean, when I went to Scale, I was amazed how many lugs there are in L.A. But then again, L.A. itself is absolutely massive, so it's understandable.
Right. Right, I mean, like, here in Pennsylvania, we have, what, there's our lug that Dan and I started, which is fairly successful. And the other large Linux user group that I can think of right offhand is, I think there's another lug about our size, maybe in Philadelphia, and then it's all the way at the other end of the state before you hit another one.
No, there's Central.
Is there Central?
The colleges have lugs, actually, a lot of them.
Yeah, but I'm not counting them because college lugs really aren't a sustainable entity.
No, it's just people who are, you know, doing computer science.
It's a couple of people doing computer science for 1 year and then they graduate and move somewhere else, you know? I'm talking about, you know, sustained presence.
There's a lot in New Jersey.
Even if there's like three big ones in Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania is a huge state. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As opposed to the same amount of territory in England, you probably would have like 10 Linux user groups or something like that. But
yeah, I mean, there's different types of groups as well. You know, there's different groups have got different ways of working. So you've got different some groups are very social, some groups are a bit more formal. So for example, in our area in the West Midlands. You know, you've got two or three different groups with each with a different way of doing things. So you can sample different types of groups as well. So you're not stuck with one single group. You know, so there's having such a small country really does have its benefits. And I'm really pleased because I remember, you know, 5 years ago there's nothing going on. You know, it's really grown quite a lot in the UK. So I'm quite pleased that it's grown so much.
How would you describe the lug activity that you have there, the activity of your particular lug that you go to on a regular basis? Is it a very formal kind of thing? Is it very informal? How do you keep things running there?
Wolves Lug is very much informal. You know, it's always been a very social lug. I set the lug up about sort of 5-6 years ago, and I've been to a few lugs, and they were really very, very formal and dry. And I was really interested in Wolves Lug being much more kind of sitting around in the pub over a beer, having some food and talking to people socially. You know, that's where Lug Radio spun off from, was from the social kind of side of Wolves Lug. And it's a nice lug, you know, we've got some real nice people there. There's been a bit of a flame war recently about, you know, some people believe the lug would be better if it was, you know, maybe a little bit more formal or you know, slightly different in different ways. But there's a strong kind of social culture at Wolves Lug, and I can't imagine that disappearing anytime soon.
That's good. That's the way that, for the most part, that we run our lug over here as well. I think that's the main ingredient to a successful Linux user group, in fact, is to keep things informal and try very hard to have a lot of fun.
Yeah, because that's what it's all about. I mean, the way I see it, this is social software that we're talking about. It's developed by people who work together on things, and, you know, there's some really, really fun and interesting people out there in free software, and it seems a shame to kind of button down the hatches and make it really formal and, you know, because most people tend to go out to a lug, you know, when they're not at work and they want to have a bit of fun. So, I suppose different people, different sort of takes and things. You know, personally, I like to go out and be social and have fun at a lug. Some people have fun in different ways, you know.
Well, you guys do a great show, man. We really enjoy Log Radio. You know, we're trying to have like a community. We've talked to the guys from different shows. You know, we talked to Ted Hager. We've had Chess Griffin from Linux Reality last week, and Dave Yates from the Lotta Links podcast. You know, we really need to communicate with each other and cooperate as much as we can. You know, everybody has their own show, their own style of things, and you know, I think everybody has something different to offer to the table.
Oh, definitely. I think there's some real cool stuff going on out there. And if you take like you guys, you know, you guys have got your style, your community, your distinctive way of doing things. Like you say, I mean, Ted's the newcomer. Ted's the little kid that you flick with a ruler every so often.
Corporate shell.
You know, you steal his lunch money and and then beat him up after school. So.
Yeah, well,
he's a great bloke.
Yeah, he's actually, what he does is probably a little tougher because, you know, he's working for his company and, you know, he can only do so much, you know?
I think he's done, like, a really cool job because there must be some restrictions there. And he was pimping Novello Open Audio, understandably, when we did the Lug Tour, and a lot of people were listening to it. And I think, you know, I think he's been a little surprised by the success that it's had, and he rightly deserves it because he's doing a really good job. But Ted's a great bloke; he's great fun. I've got one tiny little story about Ted Hager, which I found hilarious. I don't know if Ack is still in the IRC channel, because I think he is, because I'm just sat in front of the computer and I can see that a bunch of people are talking in the IRC channel. And we were at Guadec, and we were having dinner one night, and Ack was talking to some other guy about the GNOME website and about redeveloping the GNOME website, and we were drinking sangria, and Ted just picked up this kind of wooden spoon that was in sangria and put a piece of lime on it and flicked it, and it so perfectly arced over and hit Ack straight in the face. absolute perfection. I've never seen Ack saying, "You're a shit, yes you are." Well, yeah, you want to fight Ack? Come on, you want some? Damn you, this will be the bitter story. But yeah, it was just such a perfect comedy moment when it hit him in the face, actually.
That's great, man.
How's your band doing?
Yeah, it's going well. Lots of stuff going on, you know, gigging and writing music and stuff, and you know, at the moment I'm doing more with my Requiem View site, which is my own stuff, than doing the Seraphidian stuff. Our drummer's taking a bit of a break from the band, so we're looking for another drummer. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's going well.
I tell you, I have my one of my coworkers is a real metalhead, and I told him about your band, so he was listening to whatever MP3 and OGG files that you had available this morning off of your website, and he's really digging it, and he mentioned like three or four different bands that you guys sound like, and I can't remember who the hell he said, but he was definitely digging it, so you must be all right.
That's what we want.
So what's your favorite band, Jeno?
Favorite band? Oh, good question.
Black
Eyed Peas. Favorite band for me, probably going to be Overkill.
Really? That's funny. They're from Staten Island. I'm originally from Staten Island. And to be honest, growing up, they were kind of a joke when we were growing up.
Really?
Yeah. You know, they were like, Overkill. Bobby Blitz.
Yeah, it's like, when I first got into metal, a mate of mine played me some Overkill stuff. And, I mean, they look ridiculous. But... God, they're cool. But yeah, I really like Overkill. I'm a real big fan of Cannibal Corpse as well. I'm really into death metal. There's nothing quite like some, you know, terrifyingly crunchy death metal. It's brilliant.
So you're into the death metal, like you're into like Slayer, Archangel.
Yeah, Slayer are brilliant. Although I've been to like
who are those guys
Slayer
that did
games,
the Klingon
each time
shit.
I've been, each time I've been to play to see Slayer, I've lost clothing. I went to see them once in London, and they had Sepultura supporting them, and I lost my trainers. you know, sorry, my sneakers for you Americans. And, you know, I was moshing and crowd surfed and trainers went missing and I was running around the mosh pit barefoot. And then I noticed that there was one of my trainers on the stage in front of Tom Araya where he was singing. So I had to go and ask the the bouncer if I could have my trainer back.
How about Stovacore? You ever listen to them?
Stovacore.
Listen to who?
That's it. It's Stovacore.
Stovacore. Who the hell is that?
Stovacore. It's a death metal band that they dress like Klingons. They sing in They sing in Klingon. It's really, really hysterical. But they actually are very good. So I highly advocate if you like death metal, you must at least go to the Stovacore's website and listen to one of their songs.
Definitely. Well, I tell you what, there's another band. There's a band that are quite funny called XXX Maniac, and. They've got one of their songs, you guys will appreciate this, is Those Who Eat the Feces Will Be Spared.
Oh, man. It was written for Dan. There you go.
Contrary to what you might want to believe, I don't really like German scat. I don't like any kind of scat.
That's why you play when we walk in the door.
Because I know you'll enjoy it. I don't do it for me. I do it for you.
Oh, yeah.
I take the bullet so you can have a fulfilling life.
Keep believing that, Dan. Keep believing
Dan wants to make sure that you know, you have some culture, Pat.
So you're happy, yes.
Some German lessons.
I do it for you.
Oh, man. I don't need that much culture, Dan. It's all right, man.
It's not whether you need it or whether
it's
you
not
want
whether
it.
You need it.
You're going to get it.
I'm feeling sick now.
Oh, you should have been here.
We can send him the link. You want to know the link?
No.
You can Google that one.
I was getting nauseous.
Real
easily.
Shit. You know he's going to want to know what it is. Go just Google Church of Fudge when you're done here and enjoy yourself.
Hang on, Church of Fudge.
Yes,
Church of Fudge.
Right, let me talk this thing around.
Oh, here we go again. Yeah, we heard him. We heard him.
All right, everyone,
we
quiet
heard him
now.
Yell last time. This time we're going to hear him vomit.
Church of Fudge. Okay.
That's Dan. Nobody told you this except Dan, so. When you're repulsed and you feel nauseous and you're going to throw up.
Let's hear the reaction.
Think of Dan.
He's loving every minute of it.
Right, okay, that's not it. I'm a geek issue. Disturbing video of the month.
Yeah,
that'd be the one. Yeah.
Is that the one?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, let me load this up.
It's like number two.
Oh, here we go, man. Oh.
Okay, it's loading.
This is good. It's good.
Good.
Yeah.
Is good.
You can take it back to all your buddies at Lug Radio.
Okay. This is no church that I've been to.
Not yet, but hey, you're not that far away, huh? He's gonna
it's really getting worse now.
Now we help John out.
It's getting worse.
Retching in the background.
Oh.
We're so sorry.
I apologize, John. This is the kind of sense of humor that we have to put up with here on the tech show, you know.
We come walking through the door and that's what we see.
Dan.
Oh.
Oh, Bruder!
Back! Oh no, my browser won't move. Back! Oh,
did you sit through the whole thing, or did you?
How can anybody sit through the whole thing,
man? Man, it's like.
I am so lucky because I wasn't here.
I got nauseous,
there.
Man. I have a pretty strong tolerance for like really nasty shit, like, you know, gore and stuff, and that got me nauseous.
This is the kind of thing that we have to put up with from Dan, you know. So now you really have some bigger sense of appreciation for what we go through in the studio.
You know, I thought we had it bad, but You know, that's just... I actually feel sick.
Well, I know how you feel.
Oh, man, I thought... It's the chunks. I mean...
It's not real. It's not right. That's what it is, man. Geez. It's not right. It's disgusting.
It's just bad.
Anyhow. Well,
you didn't have to watch it.
That's true.
The Linsling Tech Show is not responsible for any nightmares. Yeah.
Do you think we got our we met our adult content rating on this show?
I think so.
I think we might have done
it. You must get loads of complaints from people.
They gave up a long time ago.
That's true.
They just quit.
We haven't gotten any in quite a long time.
They quit like a year ago. They figured, you know what? These guys are just too damn sick. You would just leave them alone and go away. So.
That was not pleasant. Thank you.
Things like that make you guys more popular than us.
Now you know we're going to have to listen to the next episode of Lug Radio to hear them talk about
all
this
really
shit.
How John feels about Dan's links.
That's right.
What are you kidding? He's going to take these links and show them to everybody now.
Yeah, we can hear the whole Lug Radio crew puke on
they're going to package these up. It's going to be an Ubuntu package.
Hey, it's Chet Brown.
We're not going to package Church of Bud for Edgy. It ain't going to happen.
Edgy seems to be shipping up.
App get installed, Church of Fudge.
Edgy seems to be really shipping up, man. The new version of GNOME looks real nice, man. I'm looking forward to it.
There's some real cool stuff going in. Edgy's more stable as well. You know, it's quite cool how fairly stable Edgy's been.
I think they could take the Church of Fudge video and put it in there with the example videos that you get. Make it like a Og Theora. Put it in there with the examples and then change the name from Edgy to like Chunky or Fudgy or something like that.
Fudgy F.
No, they get sued by Carvel for Fudgy.
John doesn't know what Carvel is.
I used to work at a web development company, and I used to work with this guy called Dom, and Dom was great fun. And he one time we had this boss who was a bit of an arsehole. I'm not going to say who it was, and he was a bit of an arsehole, and he popped out of the office for 2 minutes to go and get something. And while he was out, Dom said to me, he said, "Have you seen this new website called RealHamster.com?"
Oh no!
Oh man!
And have you guys seen the Real Doll website?
Yeah, Real Doll were for aware.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yes.
Alan's got three in his basement.
No, I don't.
But it's this, it's this parody site of Real Doll called Real Hamster, and on this website there was this animated GIF of a real hamster being used. and it was quite funny And we said to Dom, I said, what would be quite funny is to right-click that and set it as your wallpaper.
Oh, jeez.
So he did that, and then his whole desktop, this big, blocky, animated GIF of this hamster slowly animating, was moving backwards and forwards, and then it locked the container. At this point, he was panicking because the boss had been out for a couple of minutes. He rebooted his machine because it locked it, and he couldn't get rid of it when the machine rebooted. And I've never seen someone sweat as much as this guy. And his brother, who also worked there, had to go in there and hack the registry to get rid of this.
Hack the registry to get rid of
this giant hamster that was on his desktop.
Furry Ferret. That's a good name for a release.
I think I'm gonna go do that on one of the manager's desktops in my office tomorrow. It sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, but do it remotely. So it just shows up.
No, I'm just going to walk in and do it while he's sitting there, because there's no way in hell I'll figure out how to get it off.
It was not nice. I mean, poor guy. It was just the way it locked his machine, and the boss would due back any second. It was just not happening. So he hasn't done that since.
That's funny. I like it.
Excuse me. Well, you know what? We don't want to keep you up too much later there.
I know. It's only like, what, 2 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
Like 3 over there.
3 o'clock.
Oh, my God.
Man, you got to get you. Get
time
you.
For bed, my friend.
Yeah, you get some sleep there.
Or at least, you at least rest, try to get some sleep after Dan's sights.
Yeah, he's going to go back. He's going to go to discharges.org. There's a whole bunch of stuff there you'll enjoy.
Do you get this from like the school system?
No, I don't get it from the schools. I get it from...
Did you get it from the school system?
Well, that's, I mean...
From the kids in the middle school. Yeah, that's where Dan gets it from.
Just like reading the logs of sites to get like banned by all the software or something. Yeah, well, stuff like that. Now, do you actually have to go to an office for your job, or do you just work from home?
No, I walk downstairs. I walk downstairs, eat a bowl of cereal, and then I'm at work.
That's cool.
The long commute.
I used to commute. I used to commute about an hour to work every day, and now my commute is about a minute. And it's brilliant because I can walk downstairs. I can, you know, just for the sheer pleasure of, you know, the fact that I haven't worked from home for a while. Yesterday, I decided to spend my first hour of work completely naked, working. It was great. Just because I could.
Any video just conferencing, I take it.
So, obviously all the curtains were closed. And, you know, I didn't have a meeting on. That would be wrong. But yeah, no, it's
just great. Just a meeting and just a tie, you know?
Just a bow tie. That's
just a bow tie. And where is it tied around?
That's what canonical. And he had a bow tie and a smile on, that's it.
And the bow tie wasn't tied around his neck. Yeah, there you go.
Now, when you work like that, you work out of your home, and you work basically off the through the internet. Do you find that you end up actually working a lot more hours than you would if you would have gone into an office on a regular basis?
I think you need to be careful. You need to get the balance right. When I left university, I was doing journalism at university just on the side, and I thought I might as well do this as a career, save going out and finding a job. And I used to work nights. I used to work all through the night because I slept in late during the day, and I'd work through the night. And then I started getting phone calls at 9 o'clock in the morning from editors, sort of saying, you know, would you be interested in doing this and doing that? And that. You know, you can't get to bed at 7 o'clock in the morning and then get up at 9 o'clock when someone winds you up. So I started working during the day. And then I eventually just got into the routine when I was doing journalism of just working from 9 until 5. So getting the balance right didn't worry me when I was offered the job at Carnival. I thought, you know, I should be fine. And it's been great. It's been fine. I mean, there are some long days. Like yesterday, I worked 10 hours. And, you know, because there was a full day's work to do, and then I had the community council meeting as well in the evening.
Cool. So you pretty much keep it in check, so you're not, you know, working 20-hour days.
Yeah. I think you have to, otherwise you're going mental. I mean, you've got to keep it balanced. One of the nice things about working from home is that at lunchtime, instead of just sat in front of the telly, which I do at work, I can go and play my drums, you know, or I can play my guitar, and, you know, so it's, lunch for me is much more fun now than it used to be. You know, I can play music, so, but you've got to keep it in balance, because, I mean, I've got a girlfriend, I've got 2 little dogs, and I want to spend time with them as well, you know.
Yeah, how the dogs doing?
They're doing really good. Poor little Banger had some back problems, but they're all sorted out, and yeah, they're good. And unfortunately, Frankie still enjoys eating things that Frankie shouldn't enjoy eating, but it's good.
Now, the girlfriend, does she use Linux?
Yeah, she doesn't really have much of a choice on the laptops. she uses Windows for video editing, and that's it. She tends to use Linux for everything else. You know, she likes using Ubuntu, but Susan's fairly indifferent when it comes to computers. She's a typical end user. She couldn't really care less about what she's using. As long as she can get on the internet and check her email, she's quite happy.
Excellent. Excellent.
Awesome.
Terrific. Peachy.
Jono, thank you for staying up really late and hanging out with us, man. It was really cool talking to you.
Yeah, was that? We got to have you, like I said, we really need to work on getting all of us together on a show or two or 12 and, you know, just shoot the shit and have a lot of fun.
No, yeah, I think it'd be cool. And thanks for inviting us on, guys. You know, it's been good fun. It's good to hang out, you know.
Hey, anytime. You're going to Florida.
And we need to get...
Did you say you're going to...
We need to get you guys on Lug Radio as well.
Oh, that'd be nice. You say you're going to Florida in a couple weeks?
Yep, going on holiday, gonna relax by a beach somewhere.
See, one of your holidays, you should come to Virginia Beach. We'll keep a room open for you.
Dan is moving down there.
Where's Virginia Beach?
It's in Virginia,
and it's near the beach,
next to the water.
Yeah.
That's the question, really, isn't it?
A thousand miles north of Florida.
That's about what?
A thousand miles north of Florida.
Yep.
Yeah. It's nice there, though.
About 1,000 miles north of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's 1,000 miles.
No, yeah, it's less than that,
probably,
actually.
700, 800.
It's
somewhere in that area.
Yeah. It's
so I'm hoping to do... Some guy mailed us about doing a talk at Gainesville Lug, wherever that is, and... But I don't think I'm going to be able to make it. But I'd love to meet some, Lug Radio and Ubuntu people over there. So if anyone from Florida is listening and fancies meeting up for a pint, then do give me a shout.
Wait, where in Florida are you going?
I'm going to be in Orlando in the tourist trap.
There you go.
Well, there's plenty
of English people. We love Orlando.
There's plenty of Brits down there, man. When I was down there, there was tons of them.
It's great. I mean, it's like you go to Orlando and everyone is English.
Pretty much, like, yeah.
Sure, yeah.
It's just English central, you know. It's just all the Brits love going on holiday to Florida, but I know it's a bit cheesy in some ways, but it's just I just love it over there. I just love the weather and the people, and there's nothing quite like seeing a minimum wage paid person in a giant mouse outfit as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like 180% humidity at 95 degrees with mosquitoes as big as, you know, Volkswagen Beetles. And they're great.
You got to go during Goth Day. That's where the fun is.
No, this might sound stupid, but I really like humidity. I really like the feeling that you're soaking wet when you're not actually near water.
That's all you, man.
Give me a freezer any day.
Yeah, Lincoln's Irish. He melts in like 70-degree
right.
weather.
That's right. I would be very happy to move to Ireland or Scotland and just hang out there and, you know, in the mist and the rain. That wouldn't be fine with me, you know.
Alaska
would be fine.
So are you guys going to get over to England anytime soon?
I would love to,
but, you know, it's the whole money thing.
Yep. It's tough, man. When you
live in the United States, they don't want to pay you. See, that's the problem.
And the airfares have gotten really expensive lately, I'm sure you know.
Swim, yeah.
You must be able to turn the Linux Link Tech Show into some kind of money-making scheme now. I mean, maybe you could sell, underpants, and you could sign them or something like that.
Ubuntu-themed underpants.
The problem is we were gonna use Dan's underwear, but his underwear have such big holes in them that we can't find a place to sign.
You send them over to Japan, they'll make them mint.
That's right. Yeah. I'll put them in vending machines.
Vending machines at the train station.
That's great. We were thinking of going into a money-making scheme selling Axe underpants as well. And we sold quite a few to a number of kind of Cub Scouts who wanted to buy some tents.
Cub Scouts?
Now, you shaved your beard, right, at Lug Radio Live, right? How much did you raise for that? You did a charity auction, right?
It was, all in all, it came to about £650.
That's pretty good.
Wow.
Yeah, it was good. There was, in fact, one of the guys in the IRC channel, I've seen him in there tonight, in the tech show channel is Dot Waffle, and everybody should pat that guy on the back because he donated quite a big chunk of money towards that, and it's all for, you know, it's all for charity, and it was really good. It was good fun. It was a bit weird not having a beard for a few months, but for a month or so, but it was all for the right cause, you know.
Great.
You know what you ought to approach Mr. Shuttleworth about? Instead of sending the CDs out in a sleeve, a cardboard sleeve, a little pair of underwear. There you go.
What was that? That broke up a little bit.
Instead of sending the Ubuntu CDs out in a little cardboard sleeve, you send them out in like a little pair of underwear. You know, like
underpants CD case.
Yeah, now that would be cool. That would be.
Now that's I think that's a product opportunity for the more discerning gentleman.
There you go.
It was a Rolling Stones album that had the zipper with the underwear inside of it. Old one.
Alice Cooper album, too.
There was like that as well, yeah.
With, I think School's Out was a pair of panties. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
It's all about the marketing.
Yeah. Ubuntu comes with stained underwear. That would be awesome.
With Dan's underwear.
There's definitely a theme of underwear here tonight.
Yes. Because Pat tries to steal mine every time.
Hey, man, I'm going Comanche here, so.
That is actually more than I really wanted to know.
Yeah.
He's sitting right next to you there, Alan.
Were you guys
freewheeling?
Where is children?
What's that?
Were you guys deprived of underwear as children? You know, were you not allowed underwear?
That's what it was.
I never had any problems.
You didn't know that's a pervasive piece of culture in the United States. They just, you're not allowed to wear underwear until you're an adult. They just, you know, make you run around naked in the streets.
It's a rite of passage.
Right. And we got that from hanging out with the Indians, you know,
it's like
after the Revolution.
Mitzvah, you know. You turn 13, you get to wear underwear. That's the way it goes.
There's definitely the underwear theme going on.
Oh, good grief.
Well, thanks for hanging out, man. We really appreciate it. You're a good sport,
man. Thanks for having us on, guys. And, big hi to all the tech show listeners as well. I know you guys are doing a great job and everyone appreciates it. So, let's hook up some time.
Alright, John. Absolutely. Thank you.
Tell everybody we said hi.
Yep. Tell the rest of the guys we said hello, and their turn's next. We need to get all of you on the show, and we really need to work on getting some conglomerative stuff going on. That would be a lot of fun, I think.
Yeah.
No, I think it'd be really, cool, let's see what we can do, because, this is all about community, it's all about us working together and seeing what we can do, and, I think there's some real interesting opportunities available, so.
Thank you.
Good job, mate, I'll see you soon.
Take care, man.
Have a great night, John.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care, man. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And there you have it. That was John O'Bacon.
He stayed till 3.
He did, man. That's some dedication right there.
I'm in bed sleeping at 3 usually.
I'm just about falling asleep.
I'm in bed sleeping usually around now. So.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. It's good stuff from those guys over in Britain.
Definitely. It's good. It's cool that we get him on finally.
Different perspective, man.
Talk about some stuff.
And Dan forever scarred him with lemonparty.org and Church of Fudge.
That's just mean, man.
I think if you go back and you listen to the show, you'll find out all that stuff was brought up by somebody else other than me.
I'm just an observer.
And it wasn't me.
Somebody's wearing a Lemon Party t-shirt in front of me.
It wasn't me. It wasn't me, man. I didn't do it. Dan's the one with the Lemon Party t-shirt.
I can't wear this too many places,
Pat's the one with the fixation on
Dan's
going to
go walking. Dan's going to go walking around in the West Village of New York with that T-shirt. I'm sure he'll get a couple of pats in the ass.
You know what? You know what's? You sit here and you know about Goatsy and Lemon Party and a tub girl and everything, but there's a whole other you know, 99% of the population that has no idea what that actually is.
Yeah, and don't
they're lucky.
Don't you think they're lucky, exactly?
So
maybe that's a good thing.
You know, I'm just saying, you know, because I have a lemon on my shirt, that, you know, 90% of the people, 99% of people I run into, no clue what it means.
Uh-huh, and it's your mission in life to make sure they know, right?
Well, you put it in their mind, you know, and like lemon party.
It's horrible. It's horrible.
Fucking with people's heads. All right.
It's horrible, man.
You know what? I'm wondering if Dan's getting some kind of kickback from the computer
industry.
Every time
it's mentioned,
because you know, it's people look at his shirt, and you know, a couple hours later they're hitting their computer late at night and go, lemon party, let's look that up, and they puke on their computer. Okay, so now they have to buy another computer, and Dan gets a little kickback from every one of them, $20, $30, every time someone pukes on his computer.
So, Ohio Linux Fest has released a schedule of speakers.
Yes.
And it's shaping up to be a really good show, man.
It is looking like it's going to be the stuff. I'm excited to go there. We're going to have some good times and some good fun with a bunch of good Linux people.
Some big names going to be
you're
there.
You're staying home then, eh?
Hopefully we get... a lot of our listeners
who?
Will.
Madel Call is going to be there. Chris DeBono.
Yeah.
Who else? Jeff Waugh.
Yeah.
We talked to Mad Dog Hall what 2 Linux Fests ago.
The first year in Boston.
We talked to him. Yep. Just a few minutes.
Not
we
on
said
the show.
We were going to get him on a show. We never did yet.
It was the first year in Boston. I ran into him walking around.
No.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
It was Boston.
We didn't go to the
first year. We did not have a booth, but we were up.
We went right.
We did?
Yes.
Yes, we did.
That was the first time we interviewed Nat Friedman.
Yes.
No, wasn't that?
That was in the conference room upstairs.
Yeah, that was in the Novell room.
With the cookies.
Yes.
Don't you remember?
You treated us to coffee and cookies.
I thought that was
in
New York.
Cookies.
I thought that was in
New York. See, now everybody knows why we really like Novell.
Novell, they give us coffee and cookies.
They gave us coffee and cookies, man. We got up in the
Novell
big conference room.
We're good to go.
Coffee and cookies, a bottle of water.
No,
you know?
Wasn't that Javits?
We're very
Center?
Easily bought.
No,
it wasn't.
Are you
it was
sure?
Boston.
That was Boston, man.
It was Boston because right after we got done with that, we went out and had lunch at that bar. What the hell is it?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because that was, yeah, okay.
The
now
writer,
I remember.
The
that's
writer
right.
Bar.
At Bukowski's.
Bukowski's,
yes,
that's the
that's
one.
That's right. Because, yeah, all right. All right. You know, I don't think I heard back
Bukowski's?
The confirmation. I don't know whether, you know, maybe Jeremy Bukowski's? Said he might be there. He might show up. He said it's less than, what, 5 hours away
you
or
6 hours.
Should
go,
right,
man.
Right.
I hope he does come.
Sounds like it's going to shape it up to be a really good show, man. There's going to be a lot of people there.
Well, we're coming, which means,
going,
you know, of course it's going to be awesome.
There's
now.
Actually quite a bit of projects that are going to. The GNOME Project's going to be there. Novell's going to be there. IBM.
You know what's
going
to really suck?
The Digium.
Is to drive out there.
Yeah, it's going to be it's going to be a grind, man.
It's going to be brutal.
It's a long drive.
Because I'm driving 6 hours a weekend, you know, 12 hours actually, both, you know, round trip. And it's like, oh, it's terrible. doing 12 hours one shot, oh.
Your ass starts hurting you from sitting in the car for so long.
I have linked to massage it.
Yeah. Cruise control, man, that's all I know.
See, I don't like
cruise control and a nap. That's what Alan drives. Everybody get the hell out of the way because we're just bouncing in between.
It worked going up to Boston.
Yes,
I
right.
put on cruise control. I fall asleep.
We just bumble along, bouncing in between, you know, the two.
So you guys were snoozing. Me and Dan were cranking Maiden all the way up.
Shit. We did.
I have no plans on going fast.
That was the first and the last time I ever listened to Dig Nation, too.
You weren't impressed.
Well, it's just not, you know.
Just set
really
the cruise control at 35 and be all right.
Yeah.
35? Did you say 35?
That's why we got up there half hour before then.
Was that a Revenge of the Nerds, I think it was, or something like that? Yeah. Got cruise control set at 35.
We got up there half an hour after, and they left like 2 hours before us.
Yeah, but, you know, we had a good time, man. We went.
Yeah, it was a nice
stopped and had a nice lunch, and...
We sightseed.
Watch the old ladies get their, you know,
fuck it at a truck
get
stuff.
Their geriatric lunches and whatever stuff.
Oh,
And it was good, too. That's why I'm driving with Alan again this time.
You know, Dan was pretty good. I roomed with Dan last time. He didn't try to sexually assault me. He didn't fart that much. You know, Gorkon was talking about places where we're going to do our Friday night meetup in Columbus.
Pat, we don't believe you, man. Just stop.
He was talking
about... You had us up to didn't fart too much.
It was so traumatic.
You were all right until not farting, and now I know you're lying about the whole thing.
The sexual assault part. Gorkon was talking about the Friday night meetup, and he mentioned going to like the Oktoberfest in Columbus. I think that's a bad idea, man.
I think it's a bad idea for a couple of reasons. One, because I would like to be able to talk to people the next day, and I know that Oktoberfest is going to be jammed up there, and we're going to be like yelling at each other and stuff.
Plus, Dan with beer and sauerkraut
and sausages. Yes,
just no one would ever come visit us.
So I'm thinking,
clear out that whole area.
The other bar that we're talking about, since Oktoberfest is going, maybe the other bar will be nice and quiet, and we can all hang out and have a good time there.
The right main reason why we're going to have a meetup is we want to meet up the people.
Yeah, we want to be able to talk
all
to people.
All the shows, you know, we want to get together and hang out and have a good time, chat.
See, I wonder what kind of reception we're going to get there. I mean, at Boston, we got a fairly, you know, a good reception. But there was a lot of people there that had no idea who we were. I mean, most of the people that walked through were like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you giving away?
That's right. Yeah, what are you giving away?
Nothing this time, baby. That would show up and hang out with us, and they were great. But there was, you know, the majority of the people were like, who are you? And who's this people next to you, this Jumal?
Can I have a T-shirt?
Yeah.
I'm just wondering.
That's what they're like.
Can I have links to the ThinkPad there?
You know what the wife said?
Sure.
The wife said, "If we sell the house and we pay off all the bills and stuff, then I can get a laptop."
Yeah,
laptop.
So what are you gonna get?
Sweet.
I don't know yet. Still on the. I don't know.
17-inch PowerBook.
No,
I'm not getting.
Say no to Apple, man.
I'm not getting a MacBook or a MacBook Pro. If I don't go down the route of one of the, like a ThinkPad from the show, I might go with, you know, see if I can squeeze in a Lenovo ThinkPad.
You mean more lower end one instead of a $3,000 one?
Oh, there's no way I'm going to buy a $3,000 one. Which at that point, if I bought like the mid-range or lower end Lenovo, that would come with Windows. So I would probably keep that and run it under VMware just for the hell of it.
Hey, there's a Labor Day sale.
What time are we planning on getting into Columbus? We're getting sometime around before check-in time?
I booked the rooms today, and I spoke to the guy, and he says check-in is at 2 o'clock. And he says we could probably show up maybe noon, depending on how crowded.
All right, so we'll plan on noon, and then we can have lunch somewhere, right?
So, I mean, what are we going to do? Are we going to drive overnight? Or
yeah, why
morning?
Not?
Hey, what do you mean? We're going to get lunch at...
Noon.
At noon? We're going to be dead to the world.
Yeah, we're going to have to sack out for a few hours.
Yeah, it's gonna be
lunch at noon, then you come back to the motel, check in, you have a proper food coma, and then when you wake up, we can go out and
go out to the meetup.
Yeah, go out to the meetup and get drunk. Right?
Sounds like a plan.
That means we'd have to leave by midnight, at the latest midnight on Thursday.
Yeah,
sounds good to me. I don't have a problem with that.
Link, you've been out to Columbus a bunch of times. That's a pretty.
I lived out there. Yeah,
it's a rough drive, right? Going out there.
It's not a rough drive. It's a boring drive.
Yeah. It's nothing for miles, right?
Because you got to drive all the way through freaking Pennsylvania, which is the worst thing in the world.
Big cornfield.
Nothing. You know, there's nothing on the right side. There's nothing on the left side. There's nothing in front of you, and there's nothing behind you.
Nothing until you hit, like, Pittsburgh, right?
Right. But you get down there, and then you jump right into Ohio.
Right.
And once you get going in Ohio,
down
70 to head back down towards Columbus. And there's nothing there either, but at least it's nothing on a four-lane highway instead of nothing on a... two-lane dirt road, like it is going through Pennsylvania.
Is it the turnpike you take all the way out there?
78, right?
Yeah,
Or do you take 78?
I would
78, right?
78.
Like Harrisburg, and
you take the east-west turnpike all the way out, and then you cut around through, like at the end of Pennsylvania and Ohio, and back in.
Right, that's what I kind of figured. Yeah, when we drive down to South Carolina, it's the same thing. It's just. All like highway
95 through Virginia and North Carolina sucks.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
I took 85.
Well, yeah, you go farther in. I usually, at this point, I was going to Myrtle Beach.
No, no, I was down to South Carolina this past weekend from Virginia.
Okay.
And we had to go. That was another boring ride. I mean, it's just like, it's like the Pine Barrens when you go to Atlantic City. It's just like wall of trees on either side.
Yep.
And like hardly any traffic.
Yep. The countdown of south of the border signs.
Oh, yeah.
You get on that, you cross the state line, and it's like you're on mile 234, and you got to go to like exit 175.
Oh, dude, yeah. We are totally in luck. Gorkhan says there's a Waffle House right in the fucking parking lot of the Cozy Inn.
All right, we're there. Steak and cake, it, man. We're there. Grits.
Like grits. Sometime around noon, we're at the Waffle House.
Steak and cake, I'm there.
In front of the Cozy Inn, grits. Man. Grits, screw you and your grits. Those are disgusting, man.
I love grits.
Oh.
Steak and cake.
Do you know, I remember the first time I
had
grits.
They got Perkins in Ohio, right?
Yeah. First time I had grits, I was going over the Rocky Mountains. And I had never even heard of grits before. And we're going over the Rocky Mountains. We stop at this diner. And I asked the waitress. I said, you know, what is this grits crap that I keep seeing? And she says to me, they're like mashed potatoes.
No, they're okay. Like wallpaper paste.
Yeah. They're like mashed potatoes. So I said, oh, I like mashed potatoes, right? Yeah, let's try some of those grits. So I got my breakfast and with these grits on the side, you know, and I'm figuring, well, what the fuck would they serve mashed potatoes with breakfast? But all right. So I get the grits with breakfast. And I take one big bite of it, and I'm like, what the hell is this? It's like cardboard snot, you know?
It's green.
It's a lot better than you ever eat
this is not like
Vegemite,
freaking
that Australian
mashed potatoes.
Stuff? No. That stuff is disgusting. Vegemite?
Well, all you gotta do is, like, you put some butter in with it, you know? Butter and
dude,
salt.
Dude, you cannot put enough butter and salt in with grits.
Oh, that's great.
It would
great.
Just be butter and salt.
It's great.
Grits is better than Vegemite.
It's nasty. As a matter of fact, now I'm thinking about it, I got some instant at home. I'll have to bring it to work tomorrow. Now you got me thinking about
man.
It.
Man.
What, grits or Vegemite? Grits.
No.
Vegemite's disgusting.
I always wanted to try something, so I never had it.
Ugh.
A Vegemite sandwich.
Someone overseas is you can't get it around here.
No, you gotta have it shipped.
Someone overseas that's listening to us really needs to ship us some Vegemite because I've always wanted to try it, and you can't get it in the United States. And the likelihood of me being able to travel to Australia anytime soon is really, really very slim.
I had it back in college. We knew somebody who was Australian, they had it. And it's the most disgusting, revolting thing I've ever tasted.
Oh, man. Yeah, and in the continuation of that story, the grit story, is that they were also serving... what the hell was it?
Lamb fries?
No. Mountain oysters.
Rocky Mountain oysters.
Mountain oysters. And I had to ask my father what mountain oysters were. And, of course, when he told me, I was really... not interested in eating the rest of my breakfast at all. So that kind of ruined the whole thing for me. However, I do have to say that there were three or four truck drivers sitting at the table next to us just stomping them mountain oysters down, man. That was a good
yeah,
step for them.
That to me is like...
I think that's really disgusting, though.
Oh, hey, Link.
Don't be farting me, man.
What do you call nuts on your chest?
What?
Chestnuts. What do you call nuts on the wall?
What's that?
Walnuts. What do you call nuts on your chin?
What's that?
A dick in your mouth.
Oh, damn.
No, you're just bad, man.
You know, we didn't bring up at all today, and Alan should be thankful. There was no Tim McGraw cracks. You see?
And like I said, I'll sick my wife on you, so just go easy on those.
We do care.
Hey, man, Frapper's going really well lately. Have you noticed? We've got a shitload of Frapper sign-ups lately. Seems it's woken up, yeah.
Let me head on over there and see what we
last got. Week or so, man.
It's Where's your laptop, man?
It's coming back to me. I got an email today with a FedEx tracking number. It's on the way. I should be getting it hopefully Friday.
Oh, yeah. We got 726 members
now.
Jeez.
You remember where you left off?
We won 1,000.
Yeah, we won 1,000.
Yeah, really. Chester's got 1,000, man. We should have 1,000, right?
Well, we have about 698 last time. You remember where we were?
I think we did have 698 last time. That sounds like a real good number.
I thought it was 681.
No, it was 698.
I'm waiting for that to. I hate. It's such a small thing of map markers, the new ones. Let's see. Today's what? The 5th? Is today the 5th, 6th, 7th?
6th.
6th. So we're looking at August 31st. Is about, was last week, right?
Yep.
And I would assume that we went up to the 29th. Actually, oh yeah, there's BRAC. Okay, so we have, starting, I guess I'll just start at the August 31st. Ezer Hoden from Coraopolis, Pennsylvania. Bill Dawson from Vienna, Australia. Jacob Klitmeller from Denmark.
He's like slow all of a sudden. It's
Vince
like,
from San Diego.
Read the names.
Brock Wolf from Perth, Washington, Australia.
Hey, Brock. Shout out to Brock.
Brock, yeah. We haven't heard about him. We haven't heard from you in a long time, man.
Send Mark Waters audio from comments. La Chapelle, Batonne, France.
I think that's our French first French listener.
Yeah. Dwight from Liberty Township, Ohio, USA, who may or may not be at Linux Fest.
Hopefully we see him there.
Yeah. Tony Miller from Conroe, Texas. Kent Perkle from Cleveland, Georgia. Jake from Vancouver, Washington. Jimbo from Los Angeles, California. Rigid from Waco. What's any? Nebraska.
Nebraska.
Yeah. Okay. Jared.
This coming from the man who works at his school.
Yeah. Jari from Gothenburg, Vastra, Gothenburg,
Sweden.
Sweden. Daniel from Pekin, Illinois. Dave Wrightson from Delta, Ohio. Michael Larassi from Cupids, Canada. Glenn T. Brown from, I guess that's Dhahran, Saudi Arabia. D-H-A-H-R-A-N, Dhahran, would that be? Dhahran? No?
I'm not on...
Who knows? Todd Struble from Fergus Falls, Minnesota.
Write in and tell us where you're from.
Ray Cregan from Dublin, Ireland.
Max Dublin!
Malinsky from Hearst, Texas. Dale Jefferson from York, England, United Kingdom. Jeff from Manchester, New Hampshire. Northampton. New Hampshire. Jeff Porter from Onalaska, Wisconsin. That sounds familiar, like I read that already. We must have somebody else from Onalaska, didn't we?
Maybe.
Alan Higgins Roger from Midland, Missouri. Popeye Ray from Chandler, Arizona. Jake from Ottawa, Illinois. FLW from Finland. Ron Hay from Blackfoot, Idaho. Cool. Well, that's it. 726 members.
Keep them coming, people. Keep them coming. Keep signing up.
Yeah, we need to know who you are.
Put us over 1,000.
Voltar, we're waiting for you. We got a BRAC, we got a Zorak, we need a Voltar, right?
Works, yeah.
And eventually a Space Ghost. And a bear. Remember the bear that they used to play all the time? They would come in and chase Space Ghost or one of the guys.
No, I didn't watch it enough to see that.
See, what I don't like is...
What? To change the subject completely, sort of. That was good.
What
Whatever.
The hell is this?
What was the one where they do the Hanna-Barbera one? Mashups on Adult Swim?
The what? Hanna-Barbera mashups?
Well, yeah. Harvey Birdman. Answer my question. Yeah, I got to read.
Birdman! Yeah, I remember that one.
I gotta set Myth up to start re-recording that one.
Look at this crap, right? I don't get this. Look at this. Remad from Virginia Beach, Virginia, which I'll be near Remad soon, has this picture. It looks like some naked chick on a motorcycle. And you go to click on the picture, but it's so small. You know, right there. It's
send bigger. Us a bigger picture.
Yeah. I'm like, what the heck is that?
Naked chicks on motorcycles. Send us big pictures, please.
Chicks with guns. Send us pictures.
Exactly. Naked chicks with guns
who's
are even
guy?
Better.
Who's
bigger
this
pictures.
Who's this Yahoo right here?
Yeah. All right, it's 10:30. Time for me to go. Good night, everybody.
Rolling the sidewalks up. Yes, it is time. Thank you all for joining us once again on this Linux Link Tech Show episode 156.
If you're in Ohio or live in the nearby states, please come to the Ohio Linux Fest.
That's right.
We definitely want to meet you and hang out with you and have a good time. We're going to have a meetup the night before the conference, and the day of the conference should be a good time. You know, check out the forums. We got a Gorkon starter thread about where we're going to have the meetup. Definitely vote for where you want to hang out. Should be a good time. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, man.
No, we've already picked where we're hanging out. It was just a matter of times now. It's probably going to be like 7 o'clock.
Somewhere in there. That's going to be about dinner time for me, I'm sure. So, fat man, you can't go without food for that long.
Next week, we're talking to Brian Bagnall.
I'll end up eating some of the...
Author of On the Edge, The Rise and Fall of Commodore Computer. Should be a good discussion.
Yes, I still have to get that damn book.
I'm almost done with mine, man. Dan, you're done with your Commodore book?
No, I haven't. I'm about two-thirds of the way through. I just haven't had enough time to actually sit down and...
Excellent book, yeah. Man.
It is really good. It is really good. I like it.
I need to order it or something. Perhaps I could convince Pat to pick me up a copy from the bookstore that he got his from.
Where did you get it?
Because they don't have them in any bookstore around here.
In my office.
Barnes & Noble.
Had it.
Yeah, but they don't have them here. I called them here. Barnes & Noble here. Doesn't care.
You can order it online, man.
Yeah, but then I got to wait a week for it to get here, and then I don't get to read it.
I ordered it on Amazon. Amazon usually ships it to me like within 2 days. And that's what this free standard shipping.
The thing with Amazon, it doesn't look like they have it in stock. Like, I went on there today because I was going to order one for my brother for his birthday, and they didn't have anything in stock. They had them listed for like $40 used. I'm like, what the hell, man? So I just ordered it from the website for like $30. Shipped it to my brother.
What's the name of the book again?
On the Edge.
Yeah, on the Edge.
Good stuff. Another episode?
Another one bites the dust.
I was going to say, is in the can, but that's already been taken. So.
The week after that, we're having the guys from the Ohio Linux Fest on. Joe Zonker's coming on with Greg, and they're going to talk about a preview of the Ohio.
They're
going to
tell
Fest.
Us how they're going to entertain us while we're at the...
Should be good.
Linux Fest. Something I heard they're going to, you know, give us a free fridge full of beer or something like that. Right?
Beer.
Cool.
Ohio!
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Play us out, Dan.
Yeah. I'll play us out with another Jonathan Colton song. Da, da, da,
da, da. Why not?
The Big Boom.
It was 3 a.m. when I heard the sound. Stuck my head outside and I looked around. Terrible, it happened again. Hit the lights and put the TV on. And they said that Michigan is gone. Gone for good. Now I'm waiting for the big boom. And it knows where I'm gonna be. The big boom. Oh, it's getting closer to the big boom. And it will catch up to me. The big boom.
Good Lord.
There are a few safe places left today. Every night they come and take one away. Early on we believed we had a chance. Now there's no one who thinks that way anymore. And the infrastructure's coming down. And the government went underground. Gone for good. Now I'm waiting. Boom, and it knows where I'm gonna be. The big boom. Oh, it's getting closer to the big boom. And it will catch up to me. The big you are.
it. It's over. Good day.
He's like, how would that be?
It's over. Oh, crap. I forgot all the other crap we play. Oh, because people really want to hear that. People really want to hear all that good stuff. It's over. And all the good stuff. All the good stuff.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. It's over.
Now it's over.